What say you, brothers? I'm sure you can add much to what I said. I just pulled out some bullet points. But any thoughts from your experiences in the road about out there preaching from what I just talked about?
You covered. I think you zoomed in a lot closer to 20,000 feet.
I got to get me an altitude meter.
Yeah, you covered a bunch. I'm not sure. Stop me if I bring something up that you already covered. I might forget that you covered it. Witnessing is never one size fits all.
Yeah.
Some people who are a lot humbler and more poor in spirit, you might take the angle of, you know, you'll actually entreat them and call them and tell them more about the goodness of Christ and what he did, because they know their sin, they acknowledge it, and they more need, like, they need to be entreated to come. Some people might need more of basically a stern rebuke and a call out than holding their feet to the fire. So I guess first one I toss in there is, it is never one size fits all, and never approach it as one size fits all. Be spirit led.
Can I give you a great example of that? Brother Kuo, you were here for both of them. The little old man that had a pocket full of tracks. How old was this guy? 80 maybe?
Yeah.
Walking around with a cane. Did I blast him and just rebuke him and knock him flat? No. He was a nice old man, and we started talking to him, and he said, I know the Baptists aren't right. He said, but I go there. And he said, I know. He said, once saved, always saved wrong, and Christmas is wrong. Well, Brother Koo and I talked to him. By the time we were done talking to him, he's like, I guess you're right. He said, I shouldn't be involved with them, should I? And I said, no, sir, you shouldn't. And I left him with Brother Koo, and how did that end? Pretty good, right?
Yeah, pretty good.
We were, like, gentle with him and kind, and we just entreated him. We said, we're there for you. Contact us. We'd love to help you. And he walked away. So, you know, I didn't blast him. Everybody thinks I blast everybody the same way. Brother Purgos, how did I handle the modern pastor in the NFL jersey who, when I walked up, I heard him say to you, you can never lose your salvation no matter what you do? How did I handle him?
Oh, you were not gentle at all.
How long did it take before he was gone?
Oh, less than a minute, if memory serves.
I quoted him Hebrews 10:26, and then he tried to sidestep, and I said, no, 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 you got to tell us, pastor, because then he pulled out, I'm a pastor. He pulled out that he's a pastor, and I said, tell us what Hebrews 10:26 means, that you cannot have a sacrifice if you live in willful sin. And he just did one of these, and he got rebuked pretty stern. So absolutely, little children that come up asking questions, you don't blast them. An old man, an old woman that is humbled, you don't blast them. These false teachers that walk up and they're so arrogant and they say you could just trample the blood of Christ, oh, they get the sword thrown at them, the word of God. That's a good point. Good point, Brother Zellis.
Can I bring a question?
Of course you can bring a question.
What?
They're free today, as always.
And the answers are free, too,
Answers
right?
are free, too.
How do you have any guidelines for, like, an 8-year-old to a 12-year-old to, like, a 14-year-old, like, possibly an age of accountability, and how much... How would you handle younger children to older children? Is there a threshold or a mental competency or a maturity?
That's a really good question. Children are really, really tough. It kind of depends on the setting. So if you're in a park, and it's just a public place and a little kid walks up to you, be careful. I would not engage a child anywhere. I would just say, hi, little child, and I'd keep walking. And then if you think he's lost or something, maybe keep an eye on him and then call the police or something. In a park, be careful. Now, if we're at a festival and we're all standing there and everybody's walking around, nobody thinks that you're there like looking for little children, even though probably child abductors do. But if a child walks up to you then, your first thought is, well, how old are they? And it's like, they're 8 or 9. Oh, they're really young. They're beyond the age of even understanding the gospel. I would be very cautious about doing anything with somebody that young. Maybe if their parents are there, sometimes that happens. A little one comes up to me, I go, hi, and he's smiling at me, and I look up, mom's there, and I go, can he have a gospel card? And she's like, yeah. And I give him a gospel card, and he walks back. He'll take a gospel card. So I would look for that age to have parents involved. Now, 12, 13, 14-year-olds, teenage. And it's hard to know who's who. But they're kind of teenagers. I take a little bit more liberty and I go, hey, I'm at a festival. And they come up to me and I go, where's your parents? And they go, oh, my parents dropped me off. We're walking around here. And I go, you're walking around here without your parents? Yeah. And I go, all right, their parents let them out in the world walking around. I'm going to take the liberty if they want it. I'm going to give them the gospel. then I will. So I think my wife, she deals with a lot. I'll pass a lot of the children off to her because it's a lot less intrusive for a woman to be dealing with children than some street preacher. People look at and they think I'm trying to get them, whereas a woman, it's kind of a natural thing. But we usually draw a line about teenage, 12, 13, 14, and just be careful how much you give them, how much you talk to them. Give them the gospel card. And here's what I would say, last thing, and then I'll let somebody else talk on this. I give them a gospel card, and I say, give this to your dad, and you and him have, call me if you're interested. So now I've made the connection with the parent, and it's a little bit of a safe place. So depending upon the setting, and if you're in a park like this, avoid teenagers and avoid them because it goes all bad. Oh, he was following us, Mom, and you look really bad. You're at a festival with your brothers and sisters. You got a little bit more leeway to give out some gospel cards if little kids come up. Last thing I would say is never approach them. Never approach them. You let them walk up to you and find out the situation. Does that make sense, brothers?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Brother Zellis, about that? You have children.
Yeah, When they're teenagers and they're old enough to be going into the world and doing stuff that's sinful, they're old enough to also understand that sin has consequences. Before the age of accountability, the best you could give a child is like, follow Jesus.
Yeah.
Here's a gospel. Give it to your mommy. Something yeah. like that.
Yeah. It's amazing. You guys see it. I don't know. Well, I don't know if you see it, but I see it all the time. Little kids just come. They're like little magnets, and they just come up, and they're like, they stand in front of you and they wave. It's like they almost know what you're doing is godly. And they just stand there waving and you wave. And then the dad comes and grabs them and whisks them away. So it's amazing, the little kids. So, yeah, good question, Brother Purgos. Yeah, you do have to be careful. My rule is I never approach them. And then especially if they come up in a group. If they come up in a group and I got Sister Amma with me, oh, I love talking to the teenagers. But I won't talk to like a group of like three teenage girls by myself. I won't go there. I'll say, here's a gospel card. My wife's right around the corner. Go talk to her. She'd love to talk to you. I send them. You don't have a wife to do that with, so it's harder. But, yeah, be careful. You got to use great discernment.
Very good information.
Yeah.
My question was more pointed towards would you explain the gospel in a slightly different way to younger people?
Oh, okay. Oh,
That was my question.
Oh, okay. Before. Yeah. Well, you mean age appropriate?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like brother Zello said, if you're talking to an 8-year old, most 8-year olds have an understanding that is nowhere near a 14-year old. And so you have to 14-year old. You could talk. You get them. They're teenagers. You talk to them like an adult. You can talk to them like an adult. You get the little ones that are like, you know, 8, 9 years old. Then, like Brother Zello said, you give them a gospel card and you say, Jesus is God and God loved the world so much he sent Jesus to come into the world. And you keep your eyes on Jesus. And you tell them just a simple, basic gospel. And then give them a card and they can read it. And so, yeah. But again, I don't recommend too much of that with. If you can't preach the whole truth to them, I think you got to be careful. You're kind of preaching to some underage kids that could cause trouble. Preaching to someone's 9-year-old is probably not a good thing. Because the 9-year-old, see, here's the problem. The 9-year-old shouldn't be out walking in the world by himself. And then if the 9-year-old's got a dad around somewhere and they go, what are you doing preaching to my kid for? I don't know where the dad is. Whereas the teenagers, they're just roaming around. I can't believe. They drop them off and they're like, where's your dad? Oh, he's coming getting us in 3 hours. They're like, okay. They're getting the gospel. Great. They're here getting the gospel. So age appropriate, preach the whole gospel. Little kids, gospel card. Tell them that God sent Christ into the world to die, shed his blood, and he's the only way.
Yes, I know. You never approach them. You let them approach
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Thank you very yeah. much.
Do you see that, Brother Zellis, with little kids? Maybe you have kids. Maybe little kids are more drawn. I don't know if they see your kids. Maybe they'll walk up or something. I don't know.
No, it depends, kind of. Some kids do, some don't, but yeah, generally the gospel really is for sinners to repent, and children don't really have the concept of sin yet. They're right. Below that age.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I think when we're talking about this, if I can kind of maybe guide us a little bit, one of the things I think is critical in this conversation is steering the conversation. I mean, you're all gospel-centered. You all know how to tell the truth. You all know how to point out doctrines. You're all pretty good about different religions, and they don't have the truth. Steering the conversation is probably one of the biggest downfalls I see of most people that are new, because they feel like, and this is what you got to stop, if anybody believes this, well, if I listen to them for 20 minutes, they're going to then listen to me for 20 minutes, and this is back and forth. It doesn't work that way. They want you to be their psychiatrist, and they're going to tell you everything, and they're going to give you about 3 minutes, and as soon as you say something they don't like, they're going to go, yeah, right, and they walk away. And you just wasted 20 minutes listening to them, their blather. You've got to take control of the conversation and lead it. You've got to lead the conversation. And when somebody starts talking about something, you got to listen. And as soon as you go, uh-oh, they're going in this minutia of details about, well, back in 1927, my grandfather started a church and he built it out of hickory wood. You know that? He had a saw and he built it out of hickory wood himself. And it, really, they do this. And you want to go, I'm going to listen to this for half an hour and I got people walking by I can preach to. I go, excuse me, are you born again? I just stop people. I go, are you born again? And they go, what? And I go, are you born again by the gospel? What do you mean? And then I go right to the gospel. And I just cut off what they're doing, because leading the conversation, steering it, taking control of it, to me, that's one of the most critical things you can do. Because how long, Brother Zealous, you've witnessed more than anybody here of these brothers. How long do you get the average person? How long do you get to talk for them, to them for? How long? Quick. What's the number? Don't think about too long. The quick, hurry up, hurry up.
Minutes.
I'm sorry, what?
The average person, less than 3 minutes. You if go. You get someone seeker, it might go 10 minutes or longer.
Yeah.
Very rarely you get someone who listens to you for up to half an hour.
Right. So if you've got a soul standing in front of you and you have 10 minutes of their life, you're never going to see them again, most likely. They're going to go off and die and go to hell. Do you want to preach to them in those 10 minutes, or do you want to be nice and give them 9 of the minutes to tell me about their pet cat, Charlie, that goes to church with them? So you got to find a way to stop them and say, listen, I love your soul. We probably don't have that long together. I got to preach the gospel to you. Do you know how to find eternal life? I mean, you just got to be bold and you just got to say that to people. If you can't find any other way to butt in, if you can't steer it in a way, you just got to say, I'm here to preach the gospel. And you could do that. You could say, hey, I came out in the streets today. Look at, I got a gospel sign and gospel cards. I want to preach the gospel. You want to listen? Let's not talk about all the rest of that stuff. You can email me sometime, and I got all week, or my brothers, we'll talk to you all the rest of the time, anytime about that. Today, I want to preach the gospel. And you got to be that bold, don't you think, Brother Zealous?
Yes. That if you touch on that, beware of Satan's workers. I'm not sure if you touched on that, but when you're witnessing, beware of Satan's workers, because it's happened to me multiple times. You get somebody, and next thing you know, somebody else will walk up, especially when you're in a crowded event. Somebody else is going to walk up and try to butt into the conversation and derail everything. And you need to be firm enough and beware of Satan's workers and rebuke them, send them off, and keep the... Like, it kind of ties back into controlling the conversation.
Yeah, like that. Like that.
Workers who come up to you, hey, can I ask you a question? And you're like, well, hey, this might be a seeker. And then 10 minutes later, you find out they've just been leading you around and they're actually just a mocker and they couldn't care less about the truth.
Yeah.
And they kind of end up being like a wrung out dish rag or something, because it's like they come up to you and they're like snakes. They slither around trying to find a bite.
Yeah, and learn body language. Body language. You're witnessing somebody. You saw it with that. I was talking to the two Baptist guys. They stood there. That audio, you know how long that audio was? Those two Baptist guys? 45 minutes. 45 minutes, two Baptist guys stood there and listened to us witness to them. Their father-in-law comes up with an Ohio State jersey on. What did he do? He butted right in, and he said, yeah, you're only going to hear one of two things, well done or turned away. And I said, how do you hear well done? Well, you got to obey Jesus. I mean, he stepped right in it. And I said, are you obeying him today? You guys heard it. And he's like, well, I said, what? Look at you, Ohio State, worldliness. And people, like Brother Zello said, will come up, they'll hear you witnessing, and they'll stick their nose in, and they'll go, I want to ask you a question, and try to stop maybe a good session. That's when you have to give them a gospel card and say, tell you what, either you wait till I'm done, and I'll talk to you next. Or you can email me. I'd be happy to talk to you anytime. And don't let them come in and take over what you have going on. So, yeah, it's steering the conversation is, I think, once you know the gospel, once you know sound doctrine, steering the conversation and being bold. And when I say bold, I just mean bold enough to redirect it, bold enough to interrupt them, bold enough to cut in, to steer the conversation so that you can get the gospel if they're a listener. If they're not a listener, why are we even trying? Then just say, you know what? You don't even want to hear. I got other people to go preach to. And you turn around and you walk away. You're never going to argue anybody into the kingdom of God. Amen?
No, that was kind of another point. Beware of Satan's workers.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
When you're having a discussion about somebody, and let's say it might be a seeker, some people might have a concept, and you tell them what the Word of God says, and they go, well, it makes sense. Let me think about that, or something to that effect. Keep going with it. If you give them God's word and they kind of, you know, brush it aside, and you give them another scripture and they brush it aside, and you give them another scripture and they brush it aside, realize you're dealing with somebody that no matter how many scriptures you're going to give them, they just don't care. They're there to steal your time. Cut it short and walk away.
Yeah, they're the guy that won't believe if you raise the dead in front of them because they just keep throwing off God's word. It's kind of like we have to deal with these people that want to come to the body. They come to the body and they got six sins. And you teach them what one is, you give them the sound doctrine, and then instead of going to the next one and teach them, next one, teach them, next one, teach them, then they haven't done anything. The good thing to do with people is to say, hey, we taught you two things. Now go fix those. Go fix those, and once you've got those fixed, come back and we'll teach you some more. And make people kind of show that they are really serious about the truth and not just kind of playing you. So, yeah. Yeah, watch out for Satan's workers. Yeah, that's another one you could add in there. Definitely, because a lot of people are just that.
And on the kind of the, I'm not sure, the mellow end of Satan's workers is Jell-O. And don't go along with Jell-O either.
Yeah.
Y'all know what Jell-O is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, trying to put it on the wall, it's not going to stick. Here's another one. Ready? How many times have you heard this? I'm going to ask you a question. What's a good answer for that? What's a good answer? Seriously.
I don't have to answer your question, but I could.
Yeah, no.
Am I the Bible answer man?
Yeah, well, yeah, am I the Bible answer man? But a good question is, you can ask him, I do this often, you could say, is that a mocker's question? And they go, no, I think it's a serious question. You go, okay, well, tell you what, I didn't come here just to answer questions. I'm here to preach the gospel. Would you like the gospel? Or you can ask it. I'll decide if I want to answer and talk about that topic rather than the gospel. You don't have to. Hey, why are you wearing that color sweater? That shirt with that zipper up button on there. Where'd you get that thing? How much did you pay for that? It's like, what? I'm not here to answer those kind of questions. I'm here to preach the gospel. So again, that's directing it because people will ask you questions to try and get you thrown off of why you're there. You're there to preach the gospel. You're there to find people that have ears to listen, and you're not there to be a magnet for mockers, even though we had a dinosaur following us around. You'll see it in the videos we posted to preach. We had this guy dressed up like a dinosaur following us around for like 2 or 3 hours. Yeah. Everywhere we went, he had a sign. I don't know what the sign said. It was like roar, roar, roar or something. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. I just kept ignoring him. He kind of was like getting people's attention, and then I was standing in front of him with the sign, and people were seeing our sign more. So we were thinking, what do you think of this? Yes or no? We were thinking of getting a dinosaur suit for Pergos.
No.
No? Okay. No, that wouldn't work. Yeah, this guy was with the festival, and I have to say he was pretty nice about it. He was kind of making a joke out of it. He wasn't like intrusive or anything, but yeah, you just got to ignore that stuff. But yeah, you don't have to answer all questions. You're in control of what you're doing.
Or you could be like the master and answer the question with a question.
Yeah, you can do that as long as that's, yeah.
Biblical.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And not wasting your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I do. Hey, is this a mocker question? Then they got to think and go, oh, he's on to me, I'm a mocker. Like the guy Saturday, he comes up to me, he walks up to me. I got a great card for you right here, and he's holding the card up, and I saw it. I don't have that good eyesight. I saw it. It looked like Brother Purgos' card. And he goes, it's a great card. You got to have it. And he's laughing. And I said, no. I said, I got gospel cards already. And he starts laughing and mocking, and he walks away, and I said, sorry. He goes, I got a vibe you don't have a loving God. And I said, I got a vibe you're a mocker. I said to him. And he came back. He goes, I'm not a mocker. He goes, well, maybe kind of sort of a little bit. He basically admitted that he was a little bit mocking with Brother Purgos's card. So give the mockers and the false teachers enough rope to hang themselves. Let them keep talking to hang themselves. But, yeah, don't let them talk too long. So anything else? Any other suggestions or questions or... Role-playing is great. It's good. Use it. Practice it. Guide the conversation.
Role-playing is good. Studying is good. Learning is good. But honestly, you're never going to get better at it until you go do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Role-playing helps. Audio taping, audio recording helps. But, yeah, go out and do it. Absolutely. And you'll learn what to do, what not to do. You're never going to... It's not going to harm you to go out and do it. You just, when you're giving out the gospel, there's no, as long as you're in the truth, there's no bad way to give out the gospel. The gospel went out. It's just better ways to do it. Yeah, I could have done this better. I could have said this better. Things like that.
And it's not sinful for you to say, I'm not sure about that. Let me study it. Don't give an answer. You're not sure.
Well, the best answer if somebody asks you a tough question is say, I'm not sure I have an answer to that. I can get with my brothers and get an answer. Hey, send us an email if you're serious. Send us an email, we'll get you an answer right there. You never get an email? Were they serious? Nope.
No.
Nope. I've said that 10,000 times. I've probably gotten 5 emails. So the people in the streets are just, they're just like that. They come up to you and they're just impulsive. And so yeah, you gotta be a filter and filter all of that out. Filter all that out. So, but yeah, keep practicing. Know your limitations, sisters and brothers. Know where you should be witnessing, where you shouldn't be witnessing, and yeah, speak the truth in love. Anything else?
I'm sure there's the other brothers have something.
Yeah, I would just say I got to remind myself of this as well. I got to start reminding myself more often. You're like a soldier, and you're recruited to preach the truth. You're not there to engage in an intellectual dialogue with anyone. You're there to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Pretty simple, right?
Yeah, and I have to remind myself of that more because, like, you get in the mindset of, like, well, let me have a discussion with this person and maybe I can convince them that the gospel is... And it's like, that's totally the wrong way to go at it. And it's more like, I'm here to preach the truth. If they want to hear the truth... They have ears to hear. If they don't want to hear it, they're fighting against it.
Yeah, it's a good point. Intellectualism kills. And my points, I didn't go through what we always teach, and that is walk in the Spirit. You got to be in the Spirit. I didn't even cover that because that's just a given. That's like, don't sin. That's a given. Right. We got to walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, intellectualism and all that, it's like, no, the Spirit says, you know what? Get the word out there. Let me convict people. We're not good at convicting people. Let the Spirit do it. Yeah. We're just the mouthpiece to God to go out there and get the word out there and get it in the hands and try to find the person. Try to find the person that says, I can't believe I met you here. I've been really pondering these things and God sent me a messenger. Yeah, I came for you. That's the person you're looking for. You waste time with the guy that's a mocker, you're going to miss him. You're going to walk right by and you're going to miss your God appointment maybe. So maybe that's your question we'll get to sometime. Satan's worker holding somebody up.
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
Could be. All right, we're going to leave it right there. Thanks, brothers. We'll put this up, and hopefully some of those tips will help people along the way as they preach the gospel. Oh, by the way, we did see another street preacher out there. Rarely do we ever see one. We did see a street preacher out there. He wasn't biblical. He's a Romans 10 preacher. Oh, call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. And he's a worldly-looking guy with the Nike logo on his hat while he's preaching. And he's also a liar. Why is he a liar? Because I walked up to him, found him, rushed through the crowd to get to him, and we started talking, and he's like, oh yeah, I want to learn more. Yeah, I should take my hat off. You're right, that's disrespectful, and yeah, I probably should preach different than this. He was there preaching the whole rest of the day, didn't adjust one thing. He ignored me the rest of the day. He texted me, and I texted him back. He never texted me again, so he turned out to be a liar. So whenever we do see a street preacher out there, rarely do we ever see one. They're usually totally unbiblical, Calvinistic type, just worldly people out there just doing false ministry. So we do see them every once in a while, though. All right, we'll leave it right there.